What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Gentleman's Roundtable Body Recomposition, where we tell you that you can eat whatever you want in moderation if you're totally fine with maintaining the levels of body fat that you're at currently, because you won't make progress by being complacent 24/7 and realizing that, yes, we can share this message however we want to, but in the end, it's still calories in, calories out, and you'd probably do better eating more nutrient-dense foods in higher amounts and less Haagen-Dazs ice cream every single night while you cry because you're lonely watching Netflix.
That was oddly specific, Jeff.
Yeah.
As if we're foreshadowing something.
This is a good intro, though. What's going on, fellas? How we doing? All right.
Oh, dude, good. We actually just had an off-air chat for like half an hour.
That was a good combo.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, doing good. Just chugging along, living life.
Good.
Working out.
Good. How's
it? Yeah. You...
Working out?
Yeah.
Are you working out, Austin? That's good, dude. Working out. Yeah. How's the training going, man? Are you back to training biceps or what's going on?
No, unfortunately not.
No.
I had my second post-op appointment on Monday, and so I'm going to be in, like, I can't be lifting with that arm for another, like, 3 weeks or so.
Okay. For those of you guys who don't know, Austin did tear his bicep during a fatal leg press accident, and our sympathy goes out to him.
Man, I'm so worried every time I get on the bloody leg press now. I'm like, I don't hold the bloody grips too hard. So I'm like,
I've honestly never heard of that. I'm like, Austin, have you just been doing tren on the side? Is that what's going on, dude?
As far as I know, I'm 100% natty.
Nice. That's good.
As far as I know, no one really slipped me any tren bologna sandwiches.
You're too young to go on gear, dude. Wait till you're like 35.
He's got a big
I'm gonna stay off the secret sauce.
He's got a big TikTok following. I think he's allowed now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God.
You can wear pump covers to hide your gains. Andy, how you doing, man? How's the toddler life?
Yeah, it's good. Everything's good, mate. What's going on my end? Just planning my trip down to Portland, which will be in a few weeks.
Let's go. Yeah, I'm gonna meet you for the first time, bro. That's crazy.
I know.
In person.
I know. We'll do a little podcast and we'll record some content and shit.
Live and direct, mate. Bosh, yeah, bosh, bosh.
I'm coming at you live from Portland with the lad. Because I can't say lads because Austin won't be there. Boo-hoo, Austin will be down in San Diego with his mummy and daddy. Timing-wise, didn't work out too well. But for those of you that don't know, I've got another baby on the way that's due October the 25th, I think. So this is the calm before the storm. For me, I'm allowed to have a little trip away with a friend of mine. A little last little getaway before the baby's born. Lucy has to put some extra work in and look after our toddler. But yeah, everything's good. Just been working a lot, training's going well. I'm still in a deficit. It's not going quite as well this time around as it did last time. I took a diet break for a week and then I'm back into a deficit after the diet break, and I'm like a week or two in this phase of the diet, and it's not going quite as fast as it was prior to the diet break, but it's been a little bit more stressful at home. So I'd say that that's probably why I've been kind of going over my calories a little bit more, and I'm definitely feeling a little bit more fatigued and hungry. Like, today's supposed to be a low calorie day for me. I'm supposed to be eating like 800 to 1,000 calories, and I'm like super hungry already. Or I have been super hungry all day, really, but I'm just trying to fight that right now, push through until lunchtime. I might have something small and then something bigger for dinner, whereas usually I would push all the way through until dinner. But today, because I'm so Hank Marvin, I might have a little something at lunch. But yeah, body fat's coming down nicely. I looked around. I looked in the mirror after a shower the other day, and I was like, "Fucking hell, who the bloody hell is that? Absolutely, who this beast?" You know what I mean?
New it's shreds. Who this? Yeah, Judi Dench. Love it, bro. Awesome. Yeah, I've been in the same boat. Like, just things that took last week off, and then this week's just been Dude, for some reason, every time I try to jump back into a fat loss phase, I've got like four people who are like, "Oh, bro, it's my birthday. You're not gonna come out with us." Da, 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 da. And then I'm like, "Bro, I already ate all my calories for the day. You didn't tell me ahead of time." You know what I mean? And then I'm fucking at a restaurant, and I'm like, "What on this menu could I possibly order that's not gonna blow out all my calories?" And I just want to sit at a fucking restaurant and watch everybody eat, bro.
Yeah, just sit there with a Diet Coke.
I'm not on fucking bodybuilding prep, dude. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm at the fucking table, and I'm trying to figure out what to order, bro. And then it's like, this salad here. Oh, this salad probably has just as much fucking calories as the burger. So I'm like, okay, let me get a burger, and I'll get, like, some veggies on the side or something. And, like, light oil or no oil, which is fucking awful. But you know, you go to these restaurants and you get a meal, and then you really have no idea how much calories you're eating. I mean, you can claim that you're close, but like really it's probably 30% in one way or the other, probably more than you think it is. And then you eat that meal, boom, you're off track. And then next day somebody else fucking has a birthday or something they want you to be a part of. Bro, it's just been back to back to back. And then I've had like my nephews and my brothers in town from Philly, and my, you know, my whole family's like, "We're going to sushi." I'm like, "Fuck, sushi sounds good." So I go and have sushi, right? It's like, of course I'm going to eat the fucking spider roll. You think I'm not going to eat the spider roll?
Spider roll's good shit.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still lean, you know, like I'm still sub 170, which is crazy. But, I'm really just trying to get off those last 5 to 10 pounds and really just fucking get this over with, dude. I'm sick and tired of just like the last 5 to 10 pounds are the fucking hardest. And you'll hear everybody say that. So I want to talk about that this week on the podcast. This isn't going to be a super like fucking in-depth podcast where we go over the science and the fucking meta-analysis. This is going to be like our own experience with like getting that last 5 to 10 pounds off to get us to, you know, sub 12% body fat. And like what your guys' experiences with it are. Because frankly, I've never done it. Like, if I'm being 100% honest, I've just never done it. Never really had the discipline to do it. Not only that, I've never been in a good place. Like, I've always struggled with my relationship with food, always been an overweight kid growing up, always had issues with food and with my weight growing up. So for me, I've just never gotten to that point where I've been disciplined enough to get to that point. Now I feel like I am disciplined enough to get to that point. So, but I'm struggling right now with it. So I guess I want to know, what are your guys' main tips on like how to crank past that point of like where you feel like your body's kind of at its fucking, it's set point, I guess, if that's a real thing.
Well, I've technically never been lower than 12% body fat either, really. I mean, the last DEXA scan that I had when I was like my leanest said I was around 15%, but if I had loaded glycogen before that, maybe I would have been like, maybe I would have been around 13%. So, but that was really difficult to get down to that level of body fat, because I too was overweight as I grew up. I was never like fat, but I was definitely chubby, and I was definitely picked on a little bit for being chubby when I grew up. And I definitely am a stress eater. Like, if I'm stressed, then I will tend to be like, "Oh, I'm gonna fucking eat something, calm me down a little bit." And I am not very good at stress management either. So that's when I find it really difficult to get to that. And I think the thing for you is, like, you've been dieting now for a significant period of time that...
Right.
It's not just about the last 5 to 10 pounds. Although it is much harder. The leaner you get, the harder it's going to be, because you're looking at a slower rate of weight loss, because it's, if you're looking at like the percentage of total body weight that you would lose in a week, if you're aiming for 0.5% per week, mm-hmm. if you started at like 180, 190, you're losing more per week than you are at 170. So you're going to be, the amount you lose per week would taper off, and it's also going to get harder the longer you've been doing it for, which you have been doing it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's probably a few things going on here in your situation outside of the fact that you have, it's summer and there's different family events and friends, birthdays and stuff pulling you in different directions, pulling you off course. But you've been doing it for a while and you're already pretty fucking lean, you know. And so your body is like fatigued probably from being in a deficit and probably needs an extended break physically and mentally for a while. And I think that's probably why people, when they do a show, they go through this period of a regular cut. They'll go through their bulk and they'll do a regular cut to get them down to like a normal body weight for them, or normal body fat percentage for them, which might be around 12% body fat. And then they'll maintain there for a while, and then they'll go into their show prep. And their show prep is an extreme diet, but it's like, it's a pretty grueling task to go through, because you're getting yourself into a body fat range that is unhealthy for a show, so you can step on stage and look super shredded and lean and show all your muscles off to everyone, of course. So it's done in those stages where you take a long extended break in between so that you have enough time to like bring that body weight and body fat settling point down to where you're currently at, take a break, and then hit it again to get the last however many pounds off. So I don't know. What are your thoughts, Austin?
So I think a lot of it is, so chances are, if you are someone who has that last 5 to 10 pounds to lose, chances are you have been dieting and you have been in the process and in your journey for a while. And just simply like as we know, like the law of diminishing returns, and anytime you do any sort of pursuit or activity, like initially it's going to be super easy. Like you can make the simplest and the easiest changes in the world and you're going to see like huge payoffs, whereas like as you kind of get closer and closer to I guess your ideal goal, it like you're going to have to kind of put more work in and see like less returns, just because one, like you said, like your body has just simply adapted to a lot of the changes that you've made so far. And a big part of it is metabolic adaptation. And that in itself, there's a bunch of different like avenues that we can kind of dive into. But I'd say for the most part, the biggest things about metabolic adaptation is, one, because you've already lost a lot of that initial weight, your body is now at a smaller size. So you doing the same unit of activity is going to burn fewer calories in itself. And also your body has now adapted to its new intake, so it's obviously just gonna burn fewer calories and require fewer calories. So when you try to get into even more of a deficit, you're gonna have to cut even harder, and that's probably not as ideal for your body. So your body's gonna have to like fight against that, making you more hungrier, making you a little bit more lethargic and lazier, and that kind of stuff. And then also cardio is going to be actually less efficient now, because when you were in a bigger body, you walking say 1 mile, it's going to burn fewer calories now because you're in a much smaller body. And you say like you're lifting weights, that's also another thing too. You're like, when you say squat, like your body weight is going to be less than what it was previously.
Yeah, that's some great points. And some things to add on to what you said there is, you know, not only are you going to be burning less calories because you're a lighter person, and that's not just when you're doing cardio, but also when you're just moving around throughout the day, mm-hmm. but also because you are in a deficit, your body's like, oh my goodness, because I've been in a deficit for so long, I better down-regulate things like fidgeting, because that takes up calories, and I am, the body can sense that nutrients are scarce, and so it reduces calorie output by reducing things like fidgeting. And it's not really a conscious thing, really. You'll just notice that you'll be like, instead of tapping your toes and like moving around or whatever, you'll just be a little bit more idle. And then the other thing is, when this is the case, and you have had a reduction in your fidgeting and you're burning less calories because you are lighter and you have to eat less calories because of all of those things, you're going to have a less thermogenic effect of food as well. Because when you eat food, it costs your body energy just to digest those macronutrients. And because you're eating less macronutrients, because you are trying to lose weight still, you are going to burn less calories because you're eating less food as well. So there's all these things that are making it harder for you to lose weight the leaner that you get. Then also there's something that, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, but there's something called the energy compensation model. Have you heard of it?
I might know what you're talking about. I don't think I would know it by name, but it sounds like something I've seen.
So basically, it's where, let's say, and it's not necessarily applicable only to being in a deficit, but I do think it's applicable in this sense. But the more cardiovascular work that you do, or the more activity that you do, although it ends in a net positive calorie output in comparison to not doing it, you compensate later in the day by reducing, again, fidgeting and such. So let's say you were to be like, oh, okay, I am, you know, trying to lose the last 5 to 10 pounds of fat. And in an effort to continue with the rate I've been losing, or in effort to keep things moving, really, I am going to add in additional cardiovascular work. And although you will burn more calories in a day from doing that, as long as you're not changing other aspects of your life, I suppose. If you're adding in additional cardiovascular work, let's say a 45-minute walk, your body, again, subconsciously, will down-regulate fidgeting and those kind of small movements later in the day, so that a lot of the work that you've done during your cardiovascular work will be, how can I explain? Not meaningless, but offset, maybe, is the right word. So although in the day you would have burned more calories from doing the additional cardiovascular work, it won't be as many as you think, because you will be lazier later in the day after having done that.
So you're basically saying that your body will downregulate its NEAT if you do extra cardio.
Yes, I was just trying not to use the words NEAT.
Well, hopefully by this point in the podcast, everybody understands what NEAT is. So
yeah, fidgeting and that.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing, though: is if somebody's tracking their steps, they're going to be roughly burning the same amount of calories. Like every time that I like move and fidget around the house, like my like step tracker at least tracks like one or two steps from that. So it's like, I am, even at this point in my fat loss phase, I'm still tapping my feet. I'm still like I still can't really fucking sit still. You know what I mean? Like,
you're going out for spider rolls, mate.
I know that. I'm probably not in a fucking deficit for the week. But here's the thing, is like, I don't necessarily think I'm like at that point where I'm like fatigued and my body's like down regulating its metabolism. Like, I don't think I'm at that point. I think this is for the case for most fucking people. For most people, they're not actually feeling the effects of like being on a super hypercaloric diet. They're actually hypo, right? Calorie deficit would be hypo. Yeah. They're not actually feeling the effects of being on a hypocaloric intake. They're actually just like at this point that they've been subconsciously eating at maintenance because they're just fucking not consistent anymore. They're not disciplined. They've lost that discipline because when you get to a certain point, psychologically, your mind is obsessed with fucking food. And it's a lot easier to justify like going off your calories a couple times per week or even like every single day, which has been the case for me in the past. And probably like within the past couple months, I've done that like 1 or 2 weeks out of the month where I was trying to be in a deficit. But psychologically, my mind was like, ooh, fucking granola bars. You know what I mean? Ooh, these look good. I'm just going to have 1 or 2. And then I have fucking like 4 or 5 because my body's just like, my mind is just like obsessed with food right now. So my food environment has a huge impact on it. And if I'm like not at my house and I'm like somewhere where there's like snacks and candy and shit, it's like I'm going to fucking go off my nutrition plan. And that sucks. But I think that's the case for most people.
Yeah, I wouldn't say most people are trying to lose the last 5 pounds of fat, though. I would say most people were trying to, you know, like we've talked about before, more people have got more fat than they think they have
to lose. Yeah, yeah.
So I would say that the things that I've kind of gone through are for people that are super lean individuals in most people's eyes already, and they're trying to get kind of even leaner, really. So that isn't necessarily, things like the energy compensation model might still be slightly applicable, but not to the same degree. The same for the reduction in need, the same for the reduction in thermogenic effect of food. But still, you'd still get some metabolic adaptation. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, if you are in a calorie deficit for a long period of time, you are going to become more food focused. You know, you're going to be thinking about food. It's just a natural part of it. And that's definitely one thing that I felt this time around, or this phase of my diet after my diet break. So I took my diet break, and now coming back into it, thinking that I was going to be like getting back on track with what I was doing before, trying to get back on it. And I'm like, those Pepperidge Farm goldfish. I could slip a couple of those in.
Yeah. Dude, discipline drops, motivation drops, and you just got, it's a lot easier to say fuck it, because number one, like, there's no real consequences. You're already at a lean body fat percentage. The only real consequences are like you eventually down the road, like realizing that you kind of fucked up, like you kind of let yourself down a little bit and you weren't as tight on the reins as you could have been. And even you may even still be making progress, but it's a lot slower than it could have been. You're basically just prolonging your fat loss phase longer and longer and longer every single time that you do this. Every single time that you say fuck it and you give in to your own like lack of discipline, you're basically prolonging your own fat loss phase longer and longer and longer. So it's kind of...
But then you also...
Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to jump in there and say, you also, when you do that, you're physically not on a diet, because you're eating at maintenance, maybe even in a surplus sometimes, but mentally you're on a fucking diet.
Yeah, which is the worst, bro. Yeah. Which is the worst place to be, because literally it's a mind fuck. Like, you are physically, like, you're fine, like you're at maintenance, but mentally you're in a diet. And I've had so many clients come to me at this position where they're like, I've been dieting on and off for fucking years. I'm like, no, mentally you've been dieting for like 20 years. Physically you've been dieting for like a year, maybe. But then the other 19 you've spent mentally on a diet. Fucking crazy, dude. And it's crazy. It's crazy. And that's diet culture. That's like this, that's like the fucked up part of diet culture. That's like the Weight Watchers and like all of that shit where people have been on Weight Watchers for like 20, 30 years. God damn, dude. That's, couldn't imagine that. And they still haven't reached their goal. Maybe they reach their goal body weight like once a year and then they rebound up, or once every 2 years they rebound back up. It's like, and, no.
You know, it's happened to all of us. And yeah, this is one thing where it's, I have screwed up. And I think when I was like my leanest, like two and a bit years ago, I think now, coming up to 3 years ago probably, I was my leanest and I went straight from a cut into a lean bulk. And it was going okay. I was definitely going a little bit faster than it should have. But then the pandemic rolled around. So mm-hmm. I had that to navigate, which was really difficult. Gained a bunch of fat. And then over the course of like those 2 years, ended up gaining probably more fat than when I started that original cut back 3 years ago. And so the thing that I'm kicking myself for now is I should have spent time at maintenance after my diet. And that's one thing that I'm going to be focusing on this time around. And it is super tempting to go like straight into a bulk because you're like, right, what else can I do to like further my physique? And I think that's fine. Like if you're someone that kind of grew up on the skinnier side and is okay and probably struggles to eat too much, I think it's fine to go into a bulk. But for people that grew up a little bit bigger and often feels like they're always fat no matter what, because I definitely relate to that kind of person a little bit more, I think it's important, and it's probably the hardest part of this journey, transitioning from a cut to a maintenance phase and then holding steady there. Because oftentimes you can feel like, I'm done. My work is done. I can go back to, you know, fucking eating out.
Eating again. Like an asshole.
Yeah. And it's not just like you go from 0 to 100. Some people might, but it just creeps back.
It progresses, you know, slowly over time. And then before you know it, you're looking for any opportunity to just like go off the rails and have foods that you deemed as like off limits or too calorie dense for when you were in a deficit.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Pizza. Oh, I couldn't have these when I was cutting. Ooh, nachos. I couldn't have these when I was cutting. Ooh, this. It's like you can have those foods, but let's be honest. Like you're going to be able to eat like one plate of nachos for the entire day if you're in a deficit, you know? It's like, you're fucked. You're going to eat one plate of nachos and be like, oh yeah, I'm done for the day? The fuck? No, you're going to be hungry in an hour. So it's like, okay, go off the rails, and then slowly it progresses. Yeah, that's a good point. And so you found that just sitting at maintenance after like a fat loss phase like kind of mitigates that. You start to get those habits in place of like, okay, I don't need to eat whatever the fuck I want. I am actually still tracking. I'm still putting these habits into place that I've had from the deficit. Just now I'm including maybe bumping up my carbs a little bit more. Because honestly, it's not that much more calories from a deficit to maintenance, right? It's like 300 to 500 calories. Maybe if you're going a little bit more aggressive, but 300 to 500 calories, which you could easily get that from like a couple servings of fruit.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like you think, oh, I'm going to be able to eat all this food once I've done my cut. And it's hard not to think that when you're very food focused towards the end of a cut. But yeah. So you would calculate how many calories to add back in. I'm not going to go through that now, but you would just add those straight back in. Let's say you've been losing 1 pound a week, you add 500 calories back into your diet per day, or every day you would just go 500 calories up. Then what I would probably do is I would hold there for a week or two and then maybe gradually reverse diet as opposed to going straight into a surplus. That's the difference really, because you are going to have those things like we talked about, the down regulation in NEAT, down regulation in, or less thermogenic effect of food because you've been eating less food. So as you start to go back to maintenance, all of those things are going to start to upregulate, I suppose. You're going to be eating more food, therefore you're going to be burning more calories on that front. You're going to be probably, because you're eating more food, you're going to be a little bit more energetic. You're going to be like moving around a little bit more. So because of all of those things, you can probably get away with eating a little bit more calories. And so I would then, that would be the point where I would say maybe a reverse diet is warranted. You know, because we've talked about this before where it's like people think they need to just go and do a reverse diet when actually they haven't been on a diet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a point where it's like, can you do a reverse diet? Can you stay at a similar body weight and just, you know, inch up your calories? As long as your activity levels are increasing and you're feeling more energetic, then I don't see why you couldn't try that. But you just have to be spot on it. You'd have to be as regimented with that as your calories as when you're cutting, I would say.
Yeah, because you don't want to spill over into fat gain. Like, really, the benefits of a calorie surplus are only going to come from, like, you know, 150 to 300 calories or something. It's not as much as people think. So there you go. There's a little bit extra rice or a little bit extra fruit or whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's not a lot of fucking food, man. 150 to 300 calories. It's a tablespoon of peanut butter, bro. So it's like, okay, now you're in a surplus. Congratulations. You just ate a tablespoon more of peanut butter. It's like, okay, that's enough to build muscle though. And then you go from there and make sure that you're, you know, you're gaining, you know, a pound or two of muscle a month. And it's like, all right, cool. That's your surplus. Stay there. And if you stall out and you stop gaining weight, then maybe it's time to bring calories up a little bit more. But it doesn't, I think people blow their calories out so much. So yeah. It's, I've done it. We've all done it. We've all dirty bulked. So it's easy to do. It's really easy to do. That's why working with a coach through a surplus, a lot of people don't think about that. A lot of people wouldn't hire a coach to work with through a muscle building phase, through a surplus. But I think it's just as warranted as a coach helping you through a fat loss phase, because a lot of people struggle with the accountability in a surplus. They go overboard. So I want to rein it back in. I want to just like give people some actionable steps for losing that last 5 to 10 pounds. We talked about like what it looks like after you lose that 5 to 10 pounds and what it looks like creeping back into maintenance, maybe in a reverse diet back up to a slight surplus. But I want to talk about like if somebody's struggling with that last 5 to 10 pounds, we talked about like down regulation of meat. We talked about the thermic effect of food. We talked about how people just struggle with consistency and discipline and motivation, and they're not actually, they're kind of like mentally dieting, but physically they're not, which is kind of a messed up place to be. So I'm going to use myself for an example because this will give people an idea. So for me personally, if I've been stalled out and my weight has been like roughly the same for a couple weeks, but mentally I'm trying to be in a surplus, what initially, like your advice, Andy, was like take a longer maintenance break. So what does that look like? Is that like 2 weeks longer?
Yeah, I mean, what weight were you when you started your cut initially?
193. And I'm like 168.
So you're 168 now. Okay, so I would say try and take a more extended break around, and this is for people that aren't like obese, but take a more extended diet break every 10% of body weight lost. So you're 193. So you've lost 25 pounds, which is more than 10% of your total body weight. So it would be a good idea to take a more a slightly extended break. And that could be, I've heard people say take the same amount of time at maintenance as you spent dieting, basically.
Damn.
Yeah, but I don't honestly think you need to go for quite that long. I mean, how long did that period take you out of interest?
I started during that summer shred that we did with Yoke Squad. So I don't remember when that was. Was that March?
We're in like week 8 right now of this meso, and that one was like 10 weeks, so that was 18 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah.
So that's about like 4 months ago.
Yeah. Mate, to be honest, like you've lost 25 pounds in like 18 to 20 weeks or so. Like, okay, some of that's going to be potentially glycogen and stuff.
Yeah.
And water weight at the beginning, but that's a significant portion of weight, honestly. And you've been doing this now for 18 to 20 weeks, there or thereabouts. That's a long time for someone that's already in good shape, relatively lean to be going. So yeah, I would say like you're probably at a point now where you could probably do with a break. Like you say, you're pretty food focused. Like you're thinking about food a lot. It obviously doesn't help that you've got these social events cropping up willy-nilly, pulling you in different directions. I mean, what can you do about that other than tell your friends to tell you beforehand that you've got them? But
people are not going to do that.
Yeah, no. So I would say, and we briefly touched on this before we started, but how important is it for you to lose 5 more pounds?
I mean, to be honest, I just want to be in a good place to spend. We talked about this on previous podcasts, but spend a good like portion of this upcoming like 9 to 12 months in a surplus and stay there. So I want to be in a good spot for that, where I'm not spilling over and going too high in the body fat percentage range. So I think I'm close. I think I'm close to that.
What is that range for you look like?
Like what?
Spilling over.
Like what
is body? Too much? Yeah.
I'd say I probably don't want to get above like probably 16% body fat. I honestly, with like percentages of body fat, I'm super bad at estimating on myself. Just spending
you
most
could probably
of
say like 180 pounds probably.
Yeah.
Like if you'd say like, I don't know, half a pound a week would be a maximum gain, average gain,
mm-hmm.
half a pound a week. That would give you like 20 weeks of bulking. More, 20 to 24 weeks of bulking.
And like 3 or 4 weeks at maintenance or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you feel like? What do you feel like would push the needle to get the last 5 pounds off? Do you feel like you're capable of, you know, pushing through right now?
I think I could push through and just be like super strict for like 2 weeks. Because if I know it's like, okay, like 2 weeks, let's just fucking go hard. Let's push the cardio. Let's push the calories down. No cheat days, no refeeds, no fucking untracking for 2 weeks. I can do anything for 2 weeks, right? But then it's like, okay, then I'm fucking done. No matter what happens at the end of these 2 weeks, I'm done. Like that's kind of where I think I would do good with that mindset. Whereas like right now, it's kind of ambiguous. The goals are kind of ambiguous. It's like, I don't know, maybe another 4 to 6 weeks. Like, but I'm kind of just being so relaxed about it. So that's what I think. I think like another 2 weeks of like pushing hard.
And do you plan to take a maintenance phase after?
Yeah, probably like a good 4 weeks at maintenance.
Yeah, so I mean, I would push hard for 2 weeks then. When I come to Portland, I think it's in like 4 weeks. I'll probably be in a surplus that week because I'm a cheeky blugger.
Well, we got to have some fucking fun. I got to take you to Voodoo Donuts. Have you been there?
I don't know. Oh, maybe I have. Like Bart Simpson donuts and that.
They got like all kinds of weird donuts. It's good.
Yeah, but take me anyway.
It's overrated if you ask me, but it's a good like bus stop.
They got some other donut spots that are probably better.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But anyways. Okay, cool. So I got my plan, Coach Taters and Coach Chan. So, all right. So I'm going to push hard for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. I actually did want to jump in and mention something. You actually brought this, like, when you're talking about the whole mindset thing, this actually kind of triggered a core memory for me when I got shredded for the first time. And honestly, a lot of it, I mean, you can say this about any sort of dieting pursuit. A lot of it is going to be mindset and how, like, dedicated and disciplined you are during the process. And especially, you know, as you get leaner and leaner, like I said, like, the law of diminishing returns, the same amount of effort that you applied at first, it's going to pay off much, much less now. And a lot of it, it's like, people want to think that, oh, there's some secret to losing the last 5 to 10 pounds, but a lot of it is just sticking to the same principles of sticking to a calorie deficit. But I think even more so, the leaner you get, because you have a less returns now, you're going to have to dial in even more. So you can't just be like all loosey-goosey, oh, 80% consistency. Like now it's like really when you're like 90, 95 plus, and you have kind of less room to to slip and to like, let's like spill over.
It's game time.
Yeah. Egg whites. Fight night. Egg whites. Egg whites.
Yeah. And then you at the end of the day, it's about like...
No chewing.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's about like really digging deep and like remembering why you want to do this. And like, is it worth it to you to lose those last 5 to 10 pounds? Because I mean, for the large majority of people, it's not. But if you really want to do it, it's one of those things where you're like, I really want to fucking do this, and I'm going to put my head to the grindstone and just fucking dial it in for the next however long.
Yep. Well, let's fucking go. I'll fill you guys in next week on how it's going. Probably be miserable. But let's go. Last two.
Just want to add something. Sometimes, and I'm like, obviously, a father. Sometimes if I'm like in a bad mood or something, I'll be like, fuck am I doing, like, fucking calorie deficit bullshit, fucking, you know, like, obviously, like, not completely serious, like, but I'm like, you know, what am I doing, like, working on, like, my physique and, like, trying to look, like, I look fine the way I am, obviously, like, obviously, you have to fucking love yourself the way, with where you're currently at in your journey and that, but, like, sometimes I'm like, why am I fucking doing this to myself, like, my daughter's eating, like, fucking pasta or something, and I'm there with a fucking... lettuce. I don't know. I'm not literally there with lettuce, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, and I'm like, I got my meal prep. Yeah, I got my meal prep, and like everyone else is having like noodles and fucking barbecue pork and that. And then I see myself in the mirror looking leaner. I'm like, fucking yes, bro.
Barbecue pork, actually a lean protein source.
Is it?
Yeah, I think they use like pork tenderloin or loin or something.
Yeah, it's actually super lean. Bro, it's actually super lean. And you know, so you know the little red pork, like from the Chinese style pork with the spicy mustard and shit?
Barbecue pork?
Yeah, I used to eat the fuck out of that when I was cutting, and it's actually like,
bro. Well, what about the marinade? Surely it's like
cashew.
The marinade has a little bit of sugar in it, bro, but it's just around the outside of the meat, so it's not much. The macros are good.
I'll tell Lucy to get down to bloody HK barbecue then.
Yeah, get down there. Spot. I mean, all I know is the ones at the grocery store that have the calories listed on there. Mm. If you get it from a Chinese place, they're probably frying that bitch in peanut oil.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right, fellas.
Well, it's got so much salt, but
yeah, it does. But who cares? We don't have edemia. All right. Well,
see you next week then.
See you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll fill you guys in on my cut and how things are going. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Sounds good. Peace out.